Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And let's start in Deuteronomy 18:15. Deuteronomy 18:15 says, Yahweh your Elohim shall raise up to you a prophet from among you of your brothers, one like me, you shall listen to him. And the message today is a prophet like unto me. I want to talk about this prophet, and I want to talk about the forerunner, and maybe show you some things in Scripture that you never realized before. Because most people don't even realize that Moses prophesied of Yeshua, and that in the first century, the believers were looking for a prophet. You know, they were looking for, and interesting enough, they didn't think the Messiah and the prophet were the same person, you know, as we'll see here. You know, because when they're asking John the Baptist, are you the Messiah? And he's saying no. And then they're saying, are you the prophet? But this is the prophet he's talking about. And it's interesting that it says, you know, that Elohim will raise up a prophet from among you of your brothers. And actually, it's more like Moses is a prophet like Yeshua than Yeshua is a prophet like Moses. Yeshua, of course, is ultimately the head of everything. If we go to John 1:21, we'll see this. John chapter 1 in verse 21 says, and they asked him, what then? Are you Eliyahu? And this, talking to John the Baptist. And he said, I am not. And they said, are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those sending us? What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the paths of Yahweh, as Isaiah the prophet has said. So, again, we know there's a second Eliyahu to come, right? So they're asking him, are you Eliyahu? Because it says, I will send my prophet Eliyahu, someone in the spirit of Eliyahu, before the coming great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he's saying, no, I'm not him. And then they're saying, are you the prophet? Because there's also a prophet that's prophesied to come. If we go to John 7 in verse 40, John the 7th chapter, verse 40, says, then hearing the word, many of the crowd said, truly, this is truly the prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. But others said, no, for the Messiah, for does the Messiah come out of Galilee? So now this is what Yeshua, and he's doing the miracles. And then what are they saying? Some are saying, truly, this is the prophet. Which prophet? The prophet we're talking about. The prophet that was prophesied by Moses. And they're saying, truly, it's a prophet. Others saying, no, this is the Messiah. So again, in the Jewish mindset, you have an Eliyahu who's coming. You have a prophet that's coming. And you have a Messiah that's coming. They're looking at it as three different beings or entities. If we go to 1 Kings 17, let's look at Eliyahu first. 1 Kings 17:24, because someone coming in the spirit of Eliyahu, when Eliyahu was there, and this is 1 Kings 17 in verse 24, it says, and the woman said to Eliyahu, now I know this, that you are a man of Elohim, and the word of Yahweh that is in your mouth is truth. So this is after, you know, he's helping her, and this is what she's saying, healing her son. He's saying, now I know that you are truly. And if you look throughout the Bible, most people will say that Elijah or Eliyahu was the greatest prophet in Israel. That could be debatable, but surely he is up there, right? As at least in the top two, probably. If we go to 1 Kings 18 and verse 7, we look at the next scripture here. 1 Kings 18 and verse 7 says, and Obadiah was in the highway, and behold, Eliyahu came to meet him, and he recognized him, and he fell on his face and said, are you this one, my master Eliyahu? So he's actually bowing down to him. So Elijah or Eliyahu had a great reputation, the miracles that he did, and except for one other prophet that we'll talk about here shortly, no other prophet that you could look in the Bible. You could look at Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea and all the prophets that are there. None of them did miracles like Eliyahu, except for one other that we'll talk about here shortly, like I said. So now, let's go now to 2 Kings 9. 2 Kings 9. I'm sorry. 2 Kings 2 in verse 9. 2 Kings 2 and verse 9. And this is when Eliyahu is getting ready to be taken up in the whirlwind to heaven. And it says, and it happened when they were crossing, they're crossing the Jordan. Eliyahu says to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken away from you. And Elisha said, then let there now be a double mouth of your spirit on me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. If you shall see me taken from you, it shall be so to you. And if not, it shall not be. And it happened as they were going on and speaking, behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire came. Wow, that must have been interesting. Today we're seeing all these signs in the heavens, right? And we're seeing constellations and sometimes lining up in a way that they haven't done in thousands of years or more. But this is literally, you know, Yahweh's chariot of fire coming. That must have been amazing. And they separated between them both, and Eliyahu went up in the whirlwind to the skies. And Elisha was watching, and he was crying, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And he did not see him again, and he took hold on his garments and tore them into two pieces. And he lifted up the mantle of Eliyahu that had fallen from him, and turned back and stood on the lip of the Jordan. And he took Eliyahu's mantle that had fallen from him, and struck the waters, and said, where is Yahweh, the Elohim of Eliyahu, even he? And he struck the waters, and they were split into two here and there, and Elisha crossed over. So, of course, everybody knows about Elisha in the Bible, but for some reason, I think that Elijah or Eliyahu seems to get more notoriety, maybe because he's the famous story of him fighting the priest of Baal, and Elisha, who we're going to see, did a lot of different interesting miracles. You don't hear as much about Elisha, you know, generally speaking so. But what I want to show to you today is that, of course, the prophet that Moses prophesied about was definitely Yeshua, but that it was Elisha who was the forerunner of that. And if we look in Scripture, we're going to see that the parallels of Elisha and Yeshua and what they did are really, really astounding. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody ever talk about it before, but as I was studying Scripture and I was looking at this, I said, wow, this is really interesting, and that's why I put this message together. So let's go to 2 Kings 3. 2 Kings 3. And let's start looking at this, because I want to show you not just one or two, but quite a few parallels of Elisha and Elisha getting the double portion, right? He got the double portion of the spirit of Eliyahu and actually did the double portion of miracles. And then, of course, Yeshua had the double portion of the spirit of even Elisha or anybody else for that matter. So 2 Kings 3:11. 2 Kings 3:11. It says, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of Yahweh that we may inquire of Yahweh by him? And one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who poured water on the hands of Eliyahu. So everybody knew of Eliyahu, not as many people of Elisha, but he's telling about this. And then in verse 14, and Elisha said, as Yahweh of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely if I did not regard the face of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would have not looked toward you nor see you. Right? And he's talking to the king of Israel here because he's respecting Jehoshaphat, but not the other king. And now bring a minstrel to me. And it happened when the minstrel played, the hand of Yahweh was on him. Almost like we see with King David, right? And he said, so says Yahweh, make this valley full of ditches. For so says Yahweh, when you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that stream bed will be filled with water so that you may drink, both you and your livestock and your animals. And if you drop down to verse 20, and it happened in the morning when the flood offering was caused to go up, behold, water came by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. So we see a great miracle here, right? A miracle that there's a drought, there's no water, and Elisha is bringing living water from heaven, right? And now if we go to John 7, verse 37, John chapter 7 and verse 37, we see Yeshua in a parallel situation, John 7, verse 37. It says, now on the high day, which is the last day of the feast, talking about Sukkot, right? Yeshua was standing and he cried and said, if a man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Anyone who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from his belly. But he said this concerning the Spirit, whom the ones believing into him were about to receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. Then hearing the word, many of the crowd said, this is truly the prophet, right? So now, after he's talking about streams of living water coming out of heaven, they're saying he is the prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. But others said, no, for the Messiah. But does the Messiah come out of Galilee? So I find it interesting, you know, where Eliyahu, or rather Elisha, brings the water from heaven to fill in the ditches, and it's caused there, you know, and the living water from Yahweh. And then Yeshua says the same thing about the living water for Yahweh. And what do they say when he says this? He is the prophet. So a sign that comes there. Let's go back to 2 Kings 4 now. See another story with filling containers with oil that doesn't run out. And a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets had cried to Elisha, saying, my husband, your servant, is dead. And you know that your servant has seen Yahweh, and the lender has come to take my two children to himself for slaves. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your handmaid has nothing in the house except a pot of oil. And he said, go beg vessels for yourself from outside, from your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not let them be few. And you shall go in and shut the door on you and on your sons, and shall pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside the full ones. And she left them and shut the door on her and her sons. They carried to her, and she poured out. And it happened when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring another vessel to me. And he said to her, there is no other vessel. And the oil stopped. So, wow, you know, we see this. So we see that this is representative, right, of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is represented by oil, and she doesn't have anything. It's dry, you know, like the Spirit's not there. But Elisha comes, and what does he do? He brings the oil, representative of the Holy Spirit, and from a miracle, it just comes and comes and comes until every single container was full, and then the oil stopped. We see a parallel here in Matthew 25, 8, 9, the parable of the 10 virgins, right? And what do we see? And the foolish said to the wise, right? 10 virgins, 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. And the foolish said to the wife, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself. So we see the same thing, that Elisha, having the parallel of the filling the containers with oil, the same as Yeshua having the parable of the 10 virgins filling their lamps with oil. If we go back now to 2 Kings 4 and verse 18, 2 Kings 4 and verse 18, we're going to see here of Elisha bringing back the dead to life. And you don't find too many people in the Bible anywhere that were able to do that. 2 Kings 4, 18 through 21, then we'll drop down to 32. And the boy grew. This is where Elisha does the miracle for the woman and tells her she's going to have a child. She was barren at that point, and the boy is growing up. And the day came that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to the young man, carry him into his mother. And he carried him and brought him into his mother, and he sat on her knees until noon and died. So he probably had some kind of stroke or aneurysm or something, whatever it was, but he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of Elohim, right? Because they had this bed up there for Elisha when he came. And she laid him on the bed of the man of Elohim and shut the door and went out. So the woman is very, very distressed at what's happening. If we drop down to verse 32, she goes out after Elisha to get help. And Elisha comes there. And Elisha came into the house, and behold, the boy was dead, laid out on his bed. And he went in and shut the door on both of them and prayed to Yahweh. And he went up and lay down on the boy and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands and stretched himself on him. And the flesh of the boy became warm. Wow. Talk about the spirit of Yahweh there, huh? That literally, it's literally like he's given that spirit can come out like that. And he returned and walked in the house once here and once there. And he went up and stretched himself on him. And the boy sneezed 7 times and the boy opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. And he called her and she came into him. And he said, take up your son. And she went in and fell on his feet and bowed to the earth and took her son and went out. Wow. So very interesting here that he's bringing the dead back to life. And even the fact that the woman is bowing to his feet, like we see Yeshua, you know, in the book of John, right? With the woman who's taking her hair and she's wiping it, cleaning his feet with her hair and bowing to him the same way. So let's look now in Mark, the 5th chapter, verse 22. Mark 5 and verse 22. It says, and behold, one of the synagogue rulers named Joash came, and seeing him, he fell at his feet. Right? Same thing. So Joash also sees Yeshua and falls to his feet the same way that we see with Elisha. And he begged him very much, saying, my daughter is at the last end. I pray that you will come and lay hands on her that she may be cured. And he went with him, and a large crowd was following, and they were pressing on him. So the same way that Elisha didn't question, came right away to heal the boy who was dead, Yeshua does the same thing. And if we drop down to verse 32 here, and he looked around to see the one who had done this. Let's drop down to verse 35 rather. I'm sorry, verse 35. And he was speaking. They came from the synagogue ruler, saying, your daughter has died. Why do you still trouble the teacher? But hearing the word spoken, Yeshua said to the synagogue ruler at once, do not fear, only believe. And he did not allow anyone to go with him except Peter and Jacob and John, the brother of Jacob. And they came into the synagogue ruler's house. And he saw that they were troubled and weeping and wailing much. And going in, he said to them, why are you troubled and weeping? The child has not died, but is sleeping. And they laughed at him, but having put all out, he took along the father and the mother of the child and those with him and passed on into where the child was lying. And taking hold of the child's hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which is being translated, little girl, I say to you, rise up. And at once the girl rose and was walking, and she was a daughter of 12 years. And they were amazed with great amazement. And he much commanded them to tell no one. I'll stop there. So, wow. So we see the same situation that happens with Elijah bringing the dead back to life. A child, Elisha did it, and Yeshua did it. 2 Kings 13 and verse 20. 2 Kings 13 and verse 20. It says, and Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of Moab came into the land at the beginning of the year. And it happened, they were burying a man, and behold, they saw the band and threw the man into the grave of Elisha. And the man fell and touched the bones of Elisha and came alive and rose to his feet. So really interesting that here it is, even in Elisha's death, right, that they threw the bones in. And what is this indicative of? Ezekiel 37. Because what is one of the most important things that the Messiah does when he returns? He raises the house of Israel, the dead people that died, you know, before his coming, and he raises them back to life. We go to Ezekiel 37. We see the hand of Yahweh was on me, and he brought me by the spirit of Yahweh and made me rest in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he made me pass along them all around, and behold, very many were on the face of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O Adonai Yahweh, you know. And he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. So says Adonai Yahweh to these bones, behold, I will make breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put on you sinews, and will bring flesh on you to spread skin over you, and will put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am Yahweh. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones drew near, a bone to its bone. And I saw, and behold, the sinews and the flesh came up on them, and the skin spread over them from above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the Spirit, prophesy, son of man, and say to the Spirit, so says Adonai Yahweh, come from the four winds, O Spirit, and breathe on these slain ones that they may live. Again, the living Spirit that comes. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the Spirit came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a very great army. And then he says, who are these? He says, the whole house of Israel. So again, it's indicative that this is what the Messiah does. He comes to the whole house of Israel and brings them back to life. Another story with Yeshua, also with a coffin and a dead body, is in Luke 7. Luke 7 and verse 11. It says, and it happened on the next day, he went into a city being called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, also a great crowd. And when he approached the gate of the city, he saw a dead man while being escorted, who was the only son of his mother, and his mother was a widow. And a large crowd of the sons of the city was with her. And Yeshua saw her and had compassion on her and said to her, do not cry. And coming up, he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead one sat up and began to speak, and he gave him to his mother. So again, Elisha, even while he's dead, his bones being touched, the man comes back to life. Indicative of Ezekiel 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones, and also Yeshua showing a dead person in a coffin, and he's touching the coffin and bringing back to life. 2 Kings 4 and verse 38. 2 Kings 4 and verse 38. And this is where Elisha did multiplying of food. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and the famine was in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said to his young man, set on the big pot and boil soup for the sons of the prophets. And one went out to the field to gather herbs, and found a vine of the field, and gathered gourds from it in the field. And with the lap of his garment full, he came in and shredded them into the pot of soup, for they did not know. And they poured out for the men to eat. And it happened when they were eating the soup, they cried out and said, death is in the pot, O man of Elohim. And they were not able to eat it. I guess it was some kind of poison. You know, you never know. Sometimes even what looks like lettuce could be poison. And he said, then bring meal. And he threw into the pot and said, pour out for the people and they shall eat. And there was no evil thing in the pot. And a man came from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of Elohim bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and right ears of grain in his sack, right? We're going to read the next story about barley loaves, right? In the miracle of multiplication of food. Here we see the same thing. A man of Elohim, he brings the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and ripe ears of grain in his sack. And he said, give to the people that they may eat. And his servant said, what? Should I set this before 100 men? And he said, give to the people and they shall eat. For so says Yahweh, eat and have some left. And he set before them and they ate and left some of it according to the word of Yahweh. So wow, when we think of the miracle of the multiplication of food, we always think of where I'm going to go here, John, the sixth chapter. But how many people think of this story in Elisha? It's very, very similar. The same thing, even with barley loaves. And yet, what does he say? Don't worry, Yahweh will multiply. And he did. And as we go to John 6 in verse 5, then Yeshua was lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great crowd is coming to him. He said to Philip, from where may we buy bread that these may eat? But he said this to test him, for he knew what he was about to do. Philip answered him, bread for 200 denarii not enough for them, that each one may receive a little, right? The same as the servant said to Elisha. One of his disciples said to him, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, a little boy here has 5 loaves of barley and 2 fish, but what are these for so many, right? So he's 5 loaves of barley. And it's kind of interesting, right? Because the prophet has double the amount of spirit. So if you double 5 times 2, that would be 10. And then you double that again, by Yeshua having double the spirit, and that's 20 loaves. That's exactly what Elisha had. And Yeshua said, make the men to recline. And much grass was in the place. Then the men reclined. The number was about 5,000. And Yeshua took the loaves and giving thanks, distributed to the disciples and the disciples to those reclining. And in the same way, the fish as much as they desired. And when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments left over that not anything be lost. Then they gathered and filled 12 hand baskets of fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over to those who had eaten. Then seeing what miraculous sign Yeshua did, the men said, truly, this is truly the prophet, the one coming into the world. So again, we see Elisha, who is the prophet with double the spirit of Elijah, and he's doing the same miracle, and now Yeshua is doing it. And what are they saying? Truly, this is the prophet. So the parallel of Elisha and Yeshua doing the same miracles. If we go back to 2 Kings 5 in verse 5, now we're going to see Elisha healing a leper. 2 Kings 5 in verse 5. And the king of Syria said, go in, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he went and took of his hand 10 talents of silver and 6 talents of gold and 10 changes of garments. And he came to the king of Israel with the letter, saying, and now, when this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent to you my servant Nahum, and you shall remove from him his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his garments and said, am I the Elohim to kill and to keep alive, that this one is sending to me to recover a man from his leprosy? For consider now and see, for he is seeking an occasion with me. So he thought it was a trick. And it happened when Elisha, the man of the Elohim, heard that the king of Israel had torn his garments, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your garments? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel, right? Because he is the prophet. And Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go, and you shall wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh shall return to you, and you shall be clean. Wow. Wash 7 times in the Jordan. Yeshua told one man, right, to wash in the pool of Siloam. We see parallels there. If we drop down now to verse 14, and he, Nahum, went down and dipped in the Jordan 7 times, according to the word of the man of the Elohim, and his flesh returned like the flesh of a little boy, and he was clean. And he went back to the man of the Elohim, he and all his company, and came in and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is not an Elohim in all the earth except in Israel. And now please take a blessing from your servant. And he said, as Yahweh lives, before whom I stand, I shall not take. And he pressed on him to take, but he refused. And then in verse 26, and he said to him, did not my heart go out when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to take silver and to take garments and olives and vineyards and flocks and herds and male slaves and slave girls, right? So not only is Elisha healing a leper, as we're going to see Yeshua does the same thing, but also in Matthew 10 and verse 8, freely you receive, freely you give. The same way that Yeshua freely healed and did all the miracles, the same way Elisha is saying, no, you can't be paid for doing the work of Yahweh. That's not... So he sets the example in both ways. Matthew 8 in verse 1. And he, Yeshua, having come down from the mountain, great crowds follow him. And behold, coming up, a leper worshipped him, saying, Master, if you will, you are able to cleanse me. And stretching out his hand, Yeshua touched him, saying, I will be cleansed. And instantly his leprosy was cleansed. And Yeshua said to him, why do you look to telling a man? But rather go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift which Moses commanded for a testimony to them. And then, like we said, Matthew 10:8, heal sick ones, cleanse lepers, raise dead ones, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. So, wow, exactly the same way that Elisha heals a leper and then Yeshua heals a leper. And like I say, it's not like you could look in the Bible and find a lot of examples of anybody doing the things that Yeshua did. I mean, these were, even John the Baptist, like they said, John came not doing any miracle. A matter of fact, I don't even think there's one miracle that's listed that John did. John was a forerunner of Yeshua. He was a righteous man. He preached the word of Elohim and he did baptism. That was his job there. But Yeshua, he did all the miracles because those miracles were prophesied that that's what the Messiah would do. The Messiah would heal a leper, the Messiah would heal a person born from birth, and the Messiah would heal somebody who was blind. And Yeshua did all of these things to prove he was the Messiah. But Elisha is doing these things because he is the forerunner. Before John became the physical forerunner, when Yeshua was there on the earth, Elisha is the forerunner of the prophet, that's prophesied from Moses. 2 Kings 6 in verse 1, because now we're going to see that Elisha could even command nature, even do miracles that are against nature. And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we are living with you is too narrow for us." So there was too many people. They didn't have enough room. And what are they going to do? They're going to move to another place and they have to, I guess, build different things. And they're doing it there. If we drop down to verse 4, we see, "And he went in with them, and they came to the Jordan and cut down trees. And it happened that one was felling the log, and the iron fell into the water. And he cried out and said, 'Alas, my master,' for it was borrowed." So this man, you know, he's borrowing an axe head to cut the wood for the place they're going to build. The axe falls into the water in the Jordan River, which is flowing water. And what's going to happen when an axe falls? It's heavy. It's going to go to the bottom. And it was borrowed. "And the man of the Elohim said, 'Where did it fall?' And he made him see the place, and he cut a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float." Wow. "And he said, 'Take it up to you and put it in the hand of,'" and he put out his hand and he took it. So here it is, a real miracle, you know, that he throws a stick in there and this thing comes up. I had a miracle like that happen to me when I was in Kenya. We were actually doing a baptism in a very heavy river that was there. And my glasses fell out of my pocket and fell into the water. And I thought, wow, that's the end of that, because the river was flowing. And I just quickly prayed, "Oh, Father, please help me." I stuck my hand down in the water and the glasses flew. It was almost like the water went backward, because the glasses rolled right into my hand and I picked it up. And everyone, "Wow, that's a miracle. How didn't those glasses go off, you know, when you did that?" So I could understand miracles that happen that are against nature. And we'll see Yeshua the same way. Mark 4 and verse 37. Mark 4 and verse 37. It says, "And a great windstorm occurred, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was filled already. And Yeshua was sleeping on a blanket in the stern of the boat. And they came and woke him and were saying to him, 'Master, don't you care that we are perishing?' And being awakened, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Silence, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a calm, a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you fearful in this manner? And why is there no faith in you?' And they feared a great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Wow. So it's very interesting, because when you look at the miracles of Elisha, and they are miracles, right? You know, I mean, he feeds 100 or 200 men that are there with simply 20 loaves of barley bread, you know, that they said couldn't feed. He throws the stick and the axe head comes up. But Yeshua, if you notice, his miracles are magnified, because Elisha is the forerunner, so they are still miracles. But Yeshua's miracles, wow, feeding 5,000, which is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And, you know, commanding, not literally just having an axe head come up, but commanding the weather, and immediately the weather just stops. So both performing miracles against nature, you know, Elisha with the axe head and Yeshua rebuking the wind. Let's go next to 2 Kings 6 and verse 11, because I also want to show that both of these prophets had an extreme protection of angelic beings. Extreme protection of angelic beings. 2 Kings 6 and verse 11. And this is when Syria is coming against Israel. And it says, "The heart of the king of Syria was enraged over this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not tell me who of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, "No, my master, O king, for Elisha the prophet, who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your sleeping room." So what's happening? Every time the king of Syria is making plans, Yahweh is telling Elisha what those plans are, and Elisha's, and they're changing. And then he's saying, you know, he's telling the plans you're saying in your sleeping room, right? And he said, "Go and see where he is, and I will send and seize him." And it was told to him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So now, I don't know why he thinks he's going to go and get Elisha. He knows that Yahweh is with Elisha, but, you know, human nature, right? And he sent horses and chariots there and a heavy army. And they came in by night and surrounded the city. And the servant of the man of the Elohim rose up early and went out. And behold, an army was surrounding the city in horses and chariots. And his young man said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Right? They're fearing because now they're surrounding the city. And he said, "Do not fear, for those with us are more than those with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "I beg you, O Yahweh, open his eyes so that he may see." And Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he looked, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around. Wow. And then, you know, he comes down and he strikes the nation with blindness. But here it is. Can you imagine? You know, you're getting attacked. You're seeing all these armies. You're nervous. And Elisha's like, "Yahweh, can you show him?" And then seeing this mountain filled with, which is absolutely amazing. So we see that Elisha had angelic protection that many other people didn't. We see Eliyahu, the same thing happened when he was sending those 50 people each time, the 50 soldiers, and they died, and 50 more soldiers. But we see here with Elisha, angelic protection. Let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. And starting in verse 52. Matthew 26 in verse 52 says, and this is when Yeshua is being taken in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And Peter takes the sword, strikes the ear of the high priest's servant. And what does Yeshua say? Matthew 26 and verse 52. Then Yeshua said to him, "Put your sword back in its place, for all who take the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I am not able now to call on my Father, and he will place beside me more than 12 legions of cherubs?" Wow. So Yeshua's not playing games, right? He's not saying this in jest. He's saying it like, if this was the time, if my kingdom was of this world, which it's not of this world, don't you think I could call the Father now in 12 legions? A legion is 144,000. 12 legions of angels would be there, you know, would be there. And it's like amazing to think of the angelic protection. And then we do see literal angelic protection in Matthew 4. And this is when Yeshua is being tempted by Satan right before his ministry is starting. And then in verse 10 it says, then Yeshua said to him, "Go, Satan, for it has been written, you shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only shall you serve." Then the accuser left him, and behold, cherubs came near and ministered to him. So literally at that point, cherubs came there and were ministering. So both Elisha and Yeshua had angelic protection. The way that Yeshua had double the portion of the spirit of Elisha, Elisha had double the portion of the spirit of Elijah. So we see, or like I said, when you look in the end time, even when people are talking about the two witnesses, many people equate the two witnesses to Elijah and Moses, because in the transfiguration on Mount Hermon, that's what happens. Yeshua is transfigured, and Moses and Elisha, one on his right, one on his left. It's just a vision that's there. And the two witnesses are a type of Moses and Elijah. Although there is a second Elijah to come, like we know that the Bible says in the book of Malachi, "I will send you Elisha the prophet." But then there's also the prophet, right? The prophet that they talked about. And the prophet that they talked about, which I don't think most people understand how Elisha is the forerunner of that. Because like I said, even with Elijah, who did Elijah, Eliyahu, who did also miracles. Elisha had double the spirit he had and did double the miracles that he had. Matthew 21 in verse 10. It says, "And he entered into Jerusalem, and all the city was shaken, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'This is Yeshua, the prophet, the one from Nazareth of Galilee.'" So again, I would think that the people that lived in that day, when they saw Yeshua coming and they saw the miracles that he did, and then they also saw the miracles of Elisha, they knew of it. It was all written down in the Tanakh, that they understood that Yeshua was the prophet that was prophesied. Elisha was a prototype of Yeshua, who was the greatest prophet that ever was, you know, that was there. And the last scripture is Acts 3, verse 18. Acts 3 and verse 18. Acts 3 and verse 18 says, "But what things Elohim before proclaimed through the mouths of all his prophets, that the Messiah should suffer, he fulfilled in this manner. Repent, therefore, and be turned, so that your sins may be blotted out, and times of rest come to you from before the presence of Yahweh, and that he may send forth the one before proclaimed to you, Yeshua, Messiah, whom heaven truly needs to receive until the fullness of the times of all things, of which Elohim spoke through the mouth of all his holy prophets from old. For Moses indeed said to the fathers, 'Yahweh, your Elohim, will raise up to you a prophet from among your brothers, one like me. You shall hear him according to all things, whatever he may speak to you. And it shall be that every soul, whoever shall not hear that prophet, shall perish from among the people.'" So, wow. Yes, Elisha was a forerunner of Yeshua. Eliyahu was a great prophet. Some people say the greatest prophet of Israel. Isaiah was a great prophet. Jeremiah was a great prophet. You know, many of these people. Ezekiel was a great prophet, but none of these people was a prophet like Yeshua was a prophet. Yeshua was the prophesied prophet that it spoke about here. He's the one that says, unless, you know, you believe that he is the I Am, you will die in your sins. He's the one that is the only begotten Son of the Father. He's the eternal creator of all things. Maybe we'll end here. I'll do one more scripture in Colossians. Because I think what happens is, in the times we're living in today, it's prophesied about this in Luke, that the end would come when Yeshua is rejected from this generation. And we're seeing that in many realms. We're seeing it from Christian groups. We're seeing it from Messianic groups. We're seeing it sometimes even from sacred name groups and Sabbath groups, that they're minimalizing the Yeshua in this whole plan of salvation, sometimes minimalizing his, not only his sacrifice, going back to killing a lamb at Passover, but minimalizing his eternal existence, his as creation of the world. So I'm going to read here from Colossians 1 and starting in verse 11, "Being empowered with all power according to the might of his glory, to all patience and long-suffering with joy, so that you may joyfully give thanks to Elohim the Father, who has enlightened and made us a worthy inheritance of the saints, and has delivered us out of the authority of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have obtained salvation and the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible Elohim, the right of the firstborn of all creation. For all things were created through him, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether imperial thrones or dominions or angelic orders or authorities, all things were in his hand and have been created by him. And he is before all things, and by him all things are sustained. And he is the head of the body, the congregation, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the resurrection of the dead, that he be preeminent in all things, because it pleased Elohim to complete all things through him. And through him, making peace by the blood of his crucifixion, to reconcile all things to himself, through him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heaven, and you then being alienated and hostile in your minds by evil works, but now peace has been given through the sacrifice of his body and his death, so that he may raise you before him holy and without blemish and blameless. So, wow. We see here that there were many great prophets in Israel, but no greater prophet than Yeshua, who's the eternal creator of all things, the eternal savior of the world. He did all these different miracles that Elisha was a shadow of, but Yeshua was the fulfillment of all these things, including raising the dead, healing the leper, going against nature, performing miracles against nature, the angelic protection that he had, and most of all, going to the Father so that the Holy Spirit could be poured on us, and the greatest miracle of all, that he lives in us today, and that we can perform the acts that he would act as he's living within us. So I pray that this message was a blessing to you and gave you something to think about. And until next Shabbat, Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.